Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
When all of this corona craziness started, it felt so out of control and so foreign, right? Like all of a sudden we lost so much freedom. We couldn't get what we wanted at the grocery store, and then we can't leave our houses. It was so outside our experience, so foreign. And I was trying to understand how to deal with it, and as a pastor, how to help the people in our church to deal with it, but I've never been in a situation like this. And then one day it hit me. I know someone who has. Captain Charlie Plum was a fighter pilot in Vietnam. After dozens of successful flights, he was shot down and taken as a prisoner of war. He was tortured and held captive for over 6 years. His story is unbelievable, and he shares it today with audiences all around the world. He's been on CNN and Good Morning America and you name it. Captain Plum spoke at Verve in 2018. He's a friend of our church, and I thought, hey, he's been through this. I mean, worse than this, but this. And I emailed him and asked if I could interview him so we could get his perspective and wisdom, and he immediately agreed. We've cut up the interview into three pieces. We're going to show you part of the interview today and then the next 2 weeks of our reboot series. One of the themes Captain Plum talked about was control, about losing control or the perception of control, and about what we can control in a crisis like this. So I want to show you that part of the interview, and then I want to talk about control. We'll talk about what the Bible says about us being in control of our lives. But first, here's Captain Plum. Captain Charlie Plum joined us at Verve about a year and a half ago and was incredible. Everybody loved him. He's an incredible person. He graduated from the Naval Academy. He was one of the people who started the Top Gun program, and he is a veteran. He's going to share his story with you in a minute, and he is an American hero and a hero of mine. And so thank you so much for joining us today, Captain Plum.
Vance, I'm really honored to be with you again. That was a great session that we had a year and a half ago at Verve, and I'm really impressed with what you're doing with the Las Vegas community and all the folks that need your church. So good on you.
Thank you so much. That means a lot coming from you. And so not everyone who watches this will have been there that day. So could you just kind of give us an overview of what happened to you during the Vietnam War?
Sure. As you mentioned, I graduated from the Naval Academy, married my high school sweetheart, was in flight training for nearly 2 years, and launched on the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk. So I flew 74 successful combat missions off that aircraft carrier, flying F-4 Phantom jets. That's, at the time, it was the hottest airplane in the world. It was twice the speed of sound. Great airplane. And I felt very, very honored to be a 24-year-old guy, you know, in command of this multi-gazillion-dollar airplane. But number 75, combat mission, I was hit by a surface-to-air missile. My co-pilot and I ejected from the airplane. Our parachutes opened. We came floating down over enemy territory. Tortured for 2 days, 1,103 days. I was in prison camps in communist North Vietnam. So it all began, of course, in that 90 seconds of descent from basically king of the skies to scum of the earth. And so that's where the story begins. On the ground, 19th of May, 1967.
Wow. And so you go from you know, top of your class, flying in incredible planes, to a prisoner of war for, you said, over 6 years. It's amazing. What you know, you went through that crisis. Oh, I think I lost you.
Oh boy, I'm back, and that I'm using my cell phone. Okay. I hope you can cut that out.
Okay, I think we can. I'll start over again. I'll start over from that last question. I won't make you do that again.
Okay.
What a story to go from, you know, a fighter pilot, successful fighter pilot, to being shot down and you become a prisoner of war for over 6 years. And I know I've heard you say that some of the things that you went through and the crisis that you went through in Vietnam have some similarities to the crisis we're going through today in America and around the world with the coronavirus. What would you say are some of the similarities?
You know, there are a lot of similarities there, and I think that people look at my experience and say it's pretty dramatic, and it was, of course. But I think you can be as much of your own prison, you know, that little prison that we all create for ourselves by losing your job, or the calamities of life that befall each of us, because that's what life is about. And I think that you can be in just as much of a challenge in your life by going through that situation as I did going through mine. You know, there was a lot of physical pain involved in mine, but there was also a lot of mental pain as well. And I think that's what that we're all going through now with this COVID-19 virus and the challenges we face in our personal and professional lives in this crisis. So how do you take advantage of this? You know, because I'm a great believer, and I think you can quote a lot of scripture that says that, you know, within the challenges of life, there are continue to be opportunities.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the favorite scriptures that I remembered when I was in a prison camp was Romans 8:28. You know, figure it out. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, and that's all things. You know, that's not just the good times work together for good. It's just all things. And so, how do you take advantage of this? How do you find advantage in adversity? Because I'm convinced that that getting blown out of the sky may have been the best thing ever happened to me.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, I don't know who I would be today had I not had that experience. I don't think I would have as meaningful a life if I hadn't gone through all that. And so, okay, so how do you waste adversity? Well, you blame other people for the problems. You feel sorry for yourself. You go into this woe is me. Poor Mama Plum's little boy Charlie, a long way from home in a communist prison camp. Or in the case of the folks that are watching this, you know, it's easy to, you know, blame the economy, blame the virus, blame the boss that fired you, blame the landlord that kicked you out. You know, it's really easy to blame other people for the problems. And I'm convinced when you blame other people for the challenges of your life, you give away control of your life. You give that to somebody else. You know, I love it. You know, driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you wave your fist at that person and maybe use a couple of expletives and that person just, you know, they just drive on off. They have no idea that they even upset you.
Yeah.
And I think you can be in just as much of a prison in your own mind and your own heart if you harbor this vitriol, this acid, this hate and discontent within yourself. And I found that this is not easily done. I probably spent 3 months blaming the enemy. You know, I mean, I was ready to throttle those guys. They were pretty nasty and pretty malicious. And after about 3 months, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not hurting the enemy by being mad at them. That, in fact, they probably appreciate that. You know, that's probably what they want.
Yeah.
But I am hurting myself. Early on, when we finally got communication with each other, we were, you know, tapping on walls and tugging on wires and passing notes on pieces of toilet paper. And we passed around Bible verses and patriotic quotes and about anything that we thought would interest, you know, the prisoners in the cell next door. And one of the ones that really made a lot of sense to me was this: acid does more harm in the vessel it's stored than on the subject it's poured. that meant to me was that, yeah, I can spew all this hatred, but it's doing me more harm than it is the people that I'm spewing the hatred.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, to me, that's probably the first lesson, I think, in coping with and even finding advantage in adversity is don't blame other people for this. Realize you have control. You know, you may not be able to control the things around you, but you can certainly control the way you respond to the things around you.
Yeah, I love that. I'd love to explore that a little bit more, the idea of control, because it seems to me that with this crisis and everything that's happening, one of the things that is bothering us is that we've lost control, or we might say we've lost the illusion of control. We kind of feel like we're the masters of our fate. You know, I've got my job I've worked for. I've got, you know, my financial situation. And then this happens and we can lose so much of the control we have. I imagine that when you got shot down and when you're in this prison of war, that there was things you couldn't control and some things you could. So could you help us just think through what is it that we can control and how can that help us?
Well, thanks for that. First of all, you know, I think we all know that the control comes from the guy upstairs.
Yeah.
But I also believe that God gives us the ability to choose. And as long as we have that choice, that's a great deal of control just by realizing that we have a choice. And I think when we lose that perception of control is when we start to panic. That's when we start to fear. Most fear, I believe, comes from the fact that you can't control what's going on in your life. You know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow or next week or next month. And,
right.
And you start to panic because you lose that control. And panic doesn't do anybody any good, you know, and I think that's what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing a lot of panic in this country now, and you know, the media just pounds this thing in how bad it is and how we've lost that control.
Thanks, Captain Plum. We'll look forward to seeing more of that interview next week. But right now, I want to ask you a question. Do you consider yourself a control freak? Come on, be honest. Do you consider yourself a control freak? I think even those who don't think of themselves as control freaks have some area of life that they very much want to control. Like, there are things that I don't need to control. How our house looks, I don't care. But there are other things I have to control, like the remote control. No one else gets to touch that, which they shouldn't, because I am gifted at controlling the remote control. I can watch 10 to 12 things at one time. Not many have my ability. Now, my wife doesn't care about the remote control at all, but she really cares about our house being clean and looking nice. She can be controlling that all day long. So what is it for you? What do you try to control? Maybe how you look, or your health, or your future. Maybe you desperately want to control your schedule, or your spouse, how they look, how they act, or your health. It kind of reminds me of family photos, like when a family goes off to take this portrait and they're fighting the whole way there, but then everyone smiles and tries to control people's perceptions and take the perfect family photo. I love this family's photo. It's like you can hide a lot, but you can't hide that hair. Now, this family thought they could control their image if they all wore the same thing. Wow. All right, next one. These kids are smiling, but you know they live in fear of dad. It's like he's always hovering. This family just couldn't hide how bad things really are. Look at all those faces. Poor baby. Here's a family who attempted to Photoshop their family photo. Wow, that's a pretty bad Photoshop job. But it reminds me of how a lot of us do life. We try to Photoshop our lives and give an impression that they're better than they are. We like to control. We like to control people's image. We like to control, to be in control. And I think that's part of what we're struggling with right now. The coronavirus crisis has taken a lot of control away from us. Suddenly people we know are getting sick, or we're scared of getting sick, and it doesn't seem like there's anything we can really do. Suddenly we can't get what we want at the grocery store, and we can't go to the gym. Suddenly we've lost income or lost our job. We're not sure what's going to happen with the economy in the future. When will we be able to get back to normal life? We feel like we've lost control, but I wonder if maybe we just never had as much control as we thought we did. Today, we're in a brand new series called Reboot. We're considering how maybe the coronavirus crisis and the shut-in we're stuck in, perhaps it's not just an obstacle to be overcome. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity to learn something about life, and maybe even to start living a new, better life. And could it be that the first thing we have to learn is that we have never had as much control as we thought we had? There's a UCLA researcher named Ellen Langer. She studies this. She calls it the illusion of control. It's the cognitive bias that leads us to believe we have control over outcomes when in reality we don't. She says we overestimate the degree of control we think we have over uncontrollable events. So maybe what the corona crisis has done is just reveal our lack of control. The Bible talks about our lack of control kind of a lot. For instance, check out James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.' Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." It's saying you are not in control like you think you are. You think you've got it all mapped out, but you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think we've all learned that this last month or two. Now, this idea that we get in the Bible that we're not in control, it's not a fatalistic giving up. No, it is a faith-filled looking up. We're not in control, but we know who is. James 4, 13 and 14 said, "You're not in control. Don't say you know what's going to happen. You don't." Then here's the next verse, James 4, 15. Says, "Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.'" You're not in control. God is in control. And that's good news. Well, it should be. I guess it leads to a question. Would you rather have your will or God's will for your life? You might be like, the answer is you'd rather have God's will. God loves you. God knows you. He knows what's best for you. You want him in control. But your job is not to be in control. Your job is to recognize that God is in control and to surrender to him, to surrender to his control, to his leadership, to his will. Listen, you don't have the power to control, but you do have the power to surrender. And I want to tell you that there is nothing more powerful than a life that is fully surrendered to God and to his control. And there is no such thing as partial surrender. Like, I'm 79.35% surrendered to Jesus. No. I trust Jesus with most things, but maybe not. No, I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, but my future, I want to be in charge of that. No. Now we need to fully surrender our lives to God and to his control. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's a decision that I will not be in control of my life. I will fully surrender my life to God and to His control. Now, the reality is that everything in our culture leads us to not live that way. We live in the land of independence and self-help. We make it happen. We take charge. We control our destiny. But that is not the Christian life. Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. To follow Jesus is to surrender control. You decide to live God's will for your life instead of your will. Would you rather have your will or God's will for your life? You'd rather have God's will. And so we fully surrender our lives to God and to His control. And just to be clear, surrender is not a one-time event. It is a daily choice. It starts with a one-time event. When you decide to say yes to God, to make Jesus your Savior and Lord, the forgiver and leader, that's a decision to surrender your life, control of your life to God. It starts there. But then it becomes a daily choice. Because here's what I've learned. Even though I made that decision to surrender my life, leadership of my life, control of my life to God, even still, every day I am tempted to wrestle the steering wheel back from Him. And so I need to decide again every single day to surrender again. Have you made that initial decision to give God control of your life? And are you making that decision daily, again and again? I wonder, what are you trying to control that you need to surrender? What are you trying to control that you need to surrender? Maybe a relationship, your image, your kids, maybe your kid's future, or your health, your financial situation. What is it that you are trying to control that you need to surrender? Listen, you don't have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. I think this is something good that can come out of the corona crisis. Maybe we can recognize that we are not in control like we think we are. Maybe we can release control to God. And this is the reboot we've been needing. A reboot is a chance to reset. It's a new start where something can be different. Let's let the corona crisis be our reboot. You don't have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. And God can do way more with your surrender than you can do with your control. So, would you rather have your will or God's will for your life? Man, you'd rather have God's will. God loves you. God knows you. He knows what's best for you. You want Him in control. Your job is not to be in control. You don't have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Let's do that right now. Let's talk to God. God, I know that I am a control freak, and so I want to control just about everything. I want to control my future, my kids' future. I want to control my finances. But the reality I don't like to admit is I am not in control like I think I am. But I know who is. God, would you help us to have peace because we know that you have power and that you are in control. God, would you help us to loosen our ironclad grip on the steering wheel of our lives and hand it over to you. God, you love us. We can trust you. So God, would you let this crisis we've been going through be the reboot we need to give up control of our lives to you and live a fully surrendered life. That's what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. God, we cannot always control, but we always have the power to surrender. And God, we do that to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.